This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you guys what, you know what? John Jackson is so excited now, thanks to this crime crackdown in our nation's capital, the federal agents on the streets, the police on the streets, the National Guard troops on the streets. John can finally show off all of his bling, his fancy gold chain, his watches. John, I'll bet you got all sorts of bling that you're ready to take on your next trip to Washington, D.C., huh?
Dude, you know me. I'm all about the flash, always. You know, I got the necklace. I got the Rolex. You know, I'm always out there flashing. So, yeah, it's tough. Now maybe you don't have to be strapped at every second that you walk down a street there in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you know, when I'm in Montana, I can just have my wallet in my back pocket of my jeans, you know, when you go shopping, you know, typically, right? You know, but man, whenever I'm in someplace like Washington, D.C. or a third world country, it's like, okay, you may not even want to bring your wallet. You might want to strip out the bare essentials of just what you need. You might want to put it in a front pocket so that you can, you know, keep your hand on it while you walk around, or a zipped pocket. But, man, I've been in some countries where a guy even had his wallet stolen from a zipped pocket on his chest. thankfully, he recovered that. But, yeah, that's how crazy it got in Washington, D.C. But, yeah, there's guys now openly bragging. There's brothers making videos about how, hey, now I can wear all my bling when I walk the streets of D.C.
Yeah, in some of the countries I've been in, you have some of these markets where they'll have these bands of 12, 13-year-old kids. They call them La Piranhas, the piranhas. And if they see you as some kind of tourist, some gringo that they want to target, they'll come at you, six or eight of them, with those carpet-cutting knives. And they'll kill you straight up to get whatever is, you know, your wallet, your whatever purse you're carrying, anything like that. I mean, they'll strip you like a bunch of piranhas within 60 seconds.
Man, well, I'm traveling with you if I decide to go head south anytime soon. I'll be tagging along with you. Yeah, Jesse Waters had a great segment last night. Apparently, the Democrats are really mad at what Trump is doing to secure D.C. They're mad. They said that Trump is trying to turn Washington, D.C. into Disneyland. Yeah, how awful would it be if Trump turns our nation's capital into the happiest place on earth? Democrats just want it to remain the most miserable place on earth, apparently.
Yeah, why do we want Disneyland? We want it to be Escape from New York, where only Snake Plissken can walk down the street, right? Oh my gosh, so the evil Donald Trump wants it to make a safe place. These people are insane. You know that nowadays they're saying you can actually walk down the street there carrying your phone in your hand. That's how bad it was in D.C.
Yeah, you couldn't even have your phone in your own hand without somebody swiping it. It was like, what was that kid's cartoon, Dora the Explorer? Swiper, stop swiping! Everybody was swiping in Washington, D.C. All right, John Jackson with us this hour, maybe next hour as well. We'll check in with him, see if he can stick around. He is calling in from a remote location this morning as well here. All right, stand by. We're going to talk about the Federal Reserve and much more right after this quick break right here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
It's August 26th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Women's Equality Day, which commemorates the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which was adopted guaranteeing women the right to vote, ending more than 70 years of struggle by women suffragettes. On this day in 1939, the first televised Major League Baseball game broadcast on station W2XBS, the station that was to become WNBC-TV. Red Barber called the game between the Cincinnati Reds and the Brooklyn Dodgers at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, New York. Born on this day in 1910, Mother Teresa, who was beatified as Saint Teresa of Calcutta in 2003. Dying on this day in 1986, actor Ted Knight of Mary Tyler Moore fame.
You haven't met me. I'm Ted Baxter, the Anchorman.
The actor nicknamed the Man of a Thousand Faces, starring in The Hunchback of Notre Dame and The Phantom of the Opera. Lon Chaney dies in 1930. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we're taking your phone calls on this Tuesday morning as John Jackson joins us on the show as well. The most unwoke hour, maybe two, the most unwoke hour of the week here, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Caroline Leavitt, White House press secretary, shared this on X. In 2 weeks since President Trump began enforcing law and order in Washington, D.C., violent crime is down 32%. Carjackings are down 86%. Homicides down 60%. Robberies down 47%. Assaults with dangerous weapons down 18%. Property crime down 16%. Zero murders. Can you believe that in Washington, D.C.? Here's a segment, part of a segment that Jesse Waters had on Fox last night, starting with the one and only Stephen Miller, bringing that bling back. Here we go.
For the first time in their lives, they can use the parks, they can walk on the streets. You have people who can walk freely at night without having to worry about being robbed or mugged or wearing their watches again. They're wearing jewelry again. They're carrying purses again. It is a literal limit that President Trump has freed 700,000 people in this city who were living under the rule of criminals and thugs.
This isn't just a win for your wife who wants to wear jewelry. You know the jewelry you bought her. Guys can show off the bling, too.
I don't even got to go on my shoulder no more. I'm walking around with this. Listen, jump out on me if you want. I'm going to scream. They're going to be here in 33 seconds. I got some motherfucking help. Some backup. But wherever you help, you jump out, I'm going to blow your ass. Look, they right here. Look, they outside. Oh, God almighty.
No murders, and guys can wear flashy watches and take girls to dinner. Who's against that?
Why has Bowser allowed D.C. to be a playground for white gentrifiers and developers?
Oh, my goodness. John Jackson, hopefully you could hear that audio as you join us from... Could you hear that full clip there?
I could, but I'm going to need a translator here. I'm going to have to plug that into the international translator to get the...
really? See, I thought that guy sounded like you. I thought that was John Jackson there.
If you were paying attention to some of the press conferences yesterday... You will see right there in the Oval Office, standing right beside Pam Bondi and Stephen Miller, is the new head of the DEA. That's Terry Cole. And a little inside baseball for your listeners. He is basically running D.C. right now. DEA is running Washington, D.C. right now. They are the oversight of the entire effort and pretty much running the D.C. Police Department.
Nice. Yeah, I got a kick out of the guy. He's basically saying, look, I can wear my watch. I can wear this. I can wear that. I got National Guard right behind me. Anybody tries to mess with me, they're going to take you out. It was hilarious. But then the last soundbite that you heard, it was these leftists protesting Trump and protesting D.C. for allowing all of this law enforcement to be on the streets, right? And if you watch the actual video, here you have, it's a bunch of woke white liberals that are all banging their bongo drums against the law enforcement being in D.C. For people who don't know, you know, I went to Howard University in Washington, D.C., so I lived in that neighborhood. There was about six white guys in the undergrad at Howard University when I was there, but I joke that I think I was the only one that knew I was white. But anyway, back then, the neighborhood at Howard University was, I mean, when I'd walk down the street, everybody look at you because they're like, why is a white guy walking through the neighborhood? Washington, D.C. is a predominantly black city. And yet you look at the protest video, John, it's all the woke white liberals protesting gentrification. You're the people that gentrified the neighbors, the neighborhood around Howard University of all places. You know, and here you are protesting gentrification and supporting the very crime that targets the black population of D.C. I mean, my goodness.
Wait, hold up, Aaron. Are you saying you're white? You're a white guy?
I know, breaking news.
I never do, man. This is, I'm learning stuff every day.
Breaking news. Well, you know, the dead giveaway was my John Elway jersey that I wore on campus. So, that's when they knew, oh, he's a white guy. We thought it was some albino guy walking across campus. Nope, he's got an Elway jersey on. It's an actual white guy spotted in the wild.
Oh man, I would have given anything to have just walked around with you for a week there. That would have been fun.
Oh, we had a great time. So many good people there on that campus. Yeah, it was a ton of fun. I just wish I didn't have to wait tables five or six nights a week to afford to pay for it, because that was expensive. But then again, even Montana schools are expensive now.
You're not going to do the Sean Hannity on me here, talking about, you know, painting houses and waiting tables and walking to school both ways up a hill. You're not going to do that on me,
right? That's right. Or what was the jerk? Remember the movie from The Jerk? What did he say all the time? I was raised. I was raised a poor black child. No, you weren't. You were wearing a John Elway jersey on campus. All right. Well, hey, we're already hitting up to our next break here. John Jackson's with us. I asked John, hey, what do you want to talk about this morning on the show? He says, let's talk about the Federal Reserve. President Trump says he is removing Federal Reserve governor. You know, they have these Federal Reserve governors. Anyway, he's removing Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook from her position at the central bank. And wait till you hear why. I think he's got some ground to stand on here. We'll get John's take right after this.
Fox Sports Update.
The 45-year-old two-time U.S. Open champ, Venus Williams, has just taken the second set from the 11th seed.
The oldest player at the U.S. Open in 44 years, 45-year-old Venus Williams, delighted the crowd at Arthur Ashe Stadium at the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center Monday night. On ESPN, Venus's first Grand Slam appearance since the 2023 U.S. Open. The two-time champ at Flushing Meadows won the middle set against Carolina Mahova, but lost the match in three.
My goal is to do what I want to do. So I wanted to be here this summer. I'm so grateful for all the folks who gave me a wild card. You know, they could have said, hey, listen, you've been gone too long. You haven't won a lot of matches in the last few years.
The voice of Venus Williams, who became the oldest competitor at the U.S. Open since Renee Richards was 47 at the 1981 Open.
Another 3-2. Fly ball driven. Way back there. Left field. Take cover. Number 50. Midway of the second deck. History marches on. For the first time ever, a catcher has hit 50 home runs.
Root Sports Northwest, the Mariners beat the Padres 9-6. That within a game and a half of the AL West leading Astros. Cal Raleigh joined Mickey Mantle as the only switch hitters in MLB history with 50 home runs in a season. Raleigh the first with at least 20 from each side of the plate. The Mariners beat the Padres. The Dodgers shut out the Reds 7-0. Los Angeles one game in front of San Diego atop the NL West. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
those jelly heads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so, as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we got some Montana-specific stories we're going to get to here this morning. Maybe if we don't get to some of the Montana-specific ones here in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll hold on to them for the 9 o'clock hour of the show. John Jackson, though, tee us up on this Federal Reserve story here.
Yeah, you know, Donald Trump has been after the Federal Reserve, I mean, for a long time, even in his first term, because he knows how incompetent they are and how they obviously act politically. Well, now he's got Jerome Powell and that bunch of Democrats that are in there who are obviously obstructing the economic gains and the economic future of the United States just for politics. And he has had enough of it. He has been on a jihad against these people now for probably 4 months of his 8-month term. And they found one of the members of the board, this lady Lisa Cook, they've got her up in the middle of mortgage fraud. And they asked her to resign here a couple of days ago. She did not. So he is firing her for cause. And I believe, according to the regs, he can do that. You can fire them for cause. And now she's saying today she's not going to leave. And you know what, Aaron? I think somebody needs a U.S. Marshal escort out of the building.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, this is interesting. So on the face of it, look, the bigger picture here is, and John just nailed it, is that you've got these leftist Federal Reserve operatives like Lisa Cook, like too late Jerome Powell. They know they need to lower interest rates. They know they are deliberately harming, you know, not just the American economy, but working class folks, younger families that are trying to get into a home by keeping these interest rates too high. And in fact, it was interesting earlier this week, the news came out that the Fed would slightly lower interest rates. Usually they meet in, you know, fancy Jackson Hole, Wyoming around this time every year. And so, but when that news broke, Wall Street responded very positively because they know it'll be good for the economy. It needs to happen. They need to lower interest rates. But yet people like Lisa Cook are still digging in their heels because they're resisting lowering interest rates where they need to be lowered because they don't want to help Trump. And if they help the American economy, they believe they're helping Donald Trump. But as John pointed out here, John, there's more to this story because on the face of it, people might say, well, Trump can't just remove a Federal Reserve governor. Well, okay, yeah, a president can't outright remove or fire a Federal Reserve governor, apparently. But that's where President Trump on Truth Social talked about the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 and how it allows him to remove Cook for cause. And apparently she's got some mortgage fraud allegations that are similar to your good old buddy, Shifty Adam Schiff.
Oh, and Letitia James. And I guarantee you any of these people that are living in D.C., these national politicians, that go and come from their home districts, I bet you all of them are doing it. I mean, I bet you every single one of these Democrats are doing that because they wanted to save a couple of pennies on their mortgage rate that they were going to. I guarantee you.
Well, John, what else is going on out there in the news that you want to talk about this morning?
Well, you know what I saw, and you heard it on the Fox News at the top of the hour, the Fox News Minute. They're talking about the Democrats are in their own groups telling everybody that they've spent $10 billion in 2024. That's the Democrats as a whole. I'm thinking they're lumping all in local, state, national races. And that was Kamala Harris as well. Last I heard, she had $1.5 billion of that she spent in 90 days, an all-time record that will never be reached ever again by anyone of outright just throwing money into the furnace. But they are really shocked themselves that they spent that much money across the country and still got their butts kicked.
Yeah, and still, like you say, and still got their butts kicked. And now the Democrats are spending money hiring all of these consultants who are telling the Democrats to stop doing all the stupid things they've been doing, stop using all the stupid language that they've been using, you know, all the woke terminology like Latinx or birthing people, all of these woke words. Now the Democrats' own paid consultants are telling them, stop doing this.
And they're also trying to recover their masculinity, haven't you heard? Because they know that they've lost most of the men out there. Any men out there that identify themselves as masculine, alpha-type males, they've lost that demographic. And they're out there, they're using all their curse words again there, and they're just out there just getting all cursy and just all butts and stuff. And they've got Mondami up in New York trying to bench 135 pounds, which he couldn't even get off the rack. I mean, they are trying real hard to get back in with the men out there, and boy, it is flopping.
Yeah, that commie Mamdani, he was really struggling on that bench press, and that guy had to help him with hardly any weight on the bar either. I think, who was the guy that worked for Doge? Remember the guy who, he had the nickname Big Balls? That was his social media nickname, and then he earned the nickname because when eight men were attacking a woman in D.C., he stood up for her, stopped the attack, but, man, got bloodied in the process. Apparently, he posted a video of himself at the weight bench. He did a lot better than the Kami Mamdani.
Well, here he is. Yeah, I saw that video you're talking about. Here he is. What? I mean, what is he, 150, 160 pounds, Aaron? I mean, much smaller person than Mamdani, and he's pressing 225 for reps. I mean, it's just embarrassing that a 19-year-old kid like that can put up that weight. And Mamdani, who looks like a normal-sized man, can't even get the 135 off the rack. I mean, oh, my God, how embarrassing was that?
Oh, man, speaking of funny stories about the gym. So I was at the gym doing a class yesterday, and all of a sudden this song comes on, you know, on the loudspeakers on the gym. You know, the next song plays, and one of the guys that was in the gym class said, man, I swore if a Justin Bieber song came on, I would just walk out of the gym right then and there. And I was like, how did you know it was a Justin Bieber song? That was pretty funny. Pretty funny.
Have you seen Justin Bieber lately? I mean, he looks like a freaking meth cook. He looks like a whiskey tango meth cook. I mean, he looks nothing like, if you saw him out in public, you wouldn't be able to identify him.
You know, the clothes he was wearing were definitely a little wild. He was spotted at the Roadhouse Diner, a great burger joint in Great Falls. And yeah, he had those big black bell-bottom skater pant-looking things from the, like, even worse than what you would see back in the 90s. And, yeah, if you saw him wearing that outfit, you'd be like, oh, my goodness, who is this guy? But, you know, in his defense, you know, I think if he was wearing decent clothes, he, you know, looks like a normal fit dude. But then, man, when you hear about some of the garbage he had to endure growing up as a kid in Hollywood, it's like, man, the fact that he is still alive has got to be remarkable.
I mean, he looks exactly like a typical guy that I would have arrested right here in Montana. He looks like he ought to be wearing an ankle monitor.
All right. Hey, I got to go back to, so you were talking about tampon Tim Walz, you know, using all the bad words to try to sound tough, you know, as he dances across the stage and does the spirit fingers while he dances, right? And then you mentioned the Kami Mamdani. I got to play another clip for you, John, here. This is the Five on Fox News yesterday. They rolled it all into one little montage here. And after I heard this montage, it got me thinking, you know, somebody needs to use AI and make the Montana Democrat Party's new logo look exactly like the Cracker Barrel new logo. All right, here you go. Here's the montage.
Just how much worse can it get for the Democratic Party? Well, how about getting compared to Cracker Barrel's much-hated rebrand?
The Democratic brand right now has about the appeal with the American voter as the Cracker Barrel rebrand has with the American consumers. Bad, bad, bad. What are you doing? Oh, my goodness gracious.
Ouch. But can a trip to summer camp help turn things around? The DNC gathering in Minneapolis for its big summer meeting. But instead of charting a path forward on the policies Americans care about, the Democrats doubled down on woke nonsense. Check out how Chair Ken Martin kicked off his speech.
Oh. Now, please welcome a friend of mine from the Minnesota DFL, their treasurer, and her name is Lindy Somick, who is from the Saginaw Ojibwe Nation, and she's going to deliver our land acknowledgement today. Lindy.
And from there, it was a tedious bash fest. Tim Walz was fantasizing about how Kamala would have been a better president.
We wouldn't wake up every day to a bunch of on TV and a bunch of nonsense. Not a man child crying about whatever's wrong with him. May his fat ankles find something today. Think of how easy it would be to be a damn Republican. Oh, what should I wear today? This stupid freaking red hat.
Oh my goodness. John, there's too much to comment on in that little soundbite, huh?
I could not hear that clip, Aaron. I could not. But the thing about the Cracker Barrel, that's a huge deal. And it's almost like they can't help themselves. They have to do another Bud Light here. And as a Southern person myself, I find that whole Cracker Barrel thing particularly offensive. But like we compared it the other day to Jurassic Park. And what these people are, they're like the T-Rexes in Jurassic Park who just go around testing the fences. And they never to the same place twice, but they're always coming. They're always going to be testing it everywhere. And we as the consumer, you have to immediately push back and say, no, if you're going to do that, we're not going to buy your product anymore.
That's a great analogy about the T-Rex testing the lines. All right, we got to hold it right there. More to follow with John Jackson, the Joker from X. Plus, we've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
Hi. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here, 406-294-0970. I think it was last week we got a phone call from the mighty Human Z in Michigan, and he was joking around about, who was it? Oh, yeah, Luke Skywalker. He was joking around about Luke Skywalker, yeah, you know, trying to figure out which country he was going to flee to because Mark Hamill is just a radical anti-Trump leftist. So he has to leave America as a result. And after that conversation, where was he trying to go? He was trying to go to Ireland or actually Z's with us now on the phone lines. Z, what was the other country that Skywalker was trying to use the force in? Do you remember?
I think it was just Ireland.
Just Ireland, okay. Anyway, one of our listeners, after you had called in, kind of made a good point here. Why is it that these woke white liberals, you know, like Rosie and Mr. Hamill, why do they have to flee to white countries? Why, are they racist? Somebody should ask him, right?
I think they're rolling out the red carpet for the next population that they're bringing in. I think that's their job there. And given that they are international stars of international fame, right? Everyone will recognize him. I think that's why. It's in their contract.
He's using the force to bring all the Islamic migrants in to Ireland on a bigger scale. All right. Hey, all right. Well, I took it in another direction. What did you want to call in and talk about this morning?
Well, first of all, Great Lakes greetings and jazz hands and F-bomb greetings there. You know, we gotta raise the testosterone level, and that's why you have me on the phone. Look, there's a principle here. It's called the Wayne's World Principle of Management, okay? And it goes like this. Never hire a CEO who looks like someone from Wayne's World. So this Julie Feld Messina, we expend every effort and all sorts of money here on the podcast to do this research and study. CEO, Cracker Barrel CEO, Julie Feld Messina, looks just like Garth from Wayne's World. So, party on Garth, but just not at CEO. That's not a CEO at Cracker Barrel, because that is a travesty. But you gotta adopt these principles in your hiring practices. You have to just do this. So,
that is uncanny. It. Yeah, I can picture the face of the woke CEO that changed the Cracker Barrel logo. And Wayne, John Jackson, yeah, and Z, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. John, hopefully you could hear that phone call as you join us here from a remote location as well this morning. But, yeah, the Cracker Barrel CEO, have you seen a photo of her?
Oh, yeah, and I hadn't even thought about that. Z didn't tell me his comparison, and it is dead on for all of you that remember the Wayne and Garth, Wayne's World from SNL back in the day. That's a perfect comparison. But did you see yesterday now the Cracker Barrel corporate has now issued a non-apology about this whole thing, where they're trying to say, okay, everybody, just calm down, fingers off the trigger. We're still going to have the old man on the menu and on some of our things, and we're still going to have the best food. It was so patronizing, this non-apology letter that this lady sent out, and it's not fooling anybody.
Yeah, what did they lose? Like $100 million in stock value just within a matter of days?
Oh, yeah. And like where I normally go to these places would be back in North Carolina, small town North Carolina, where those places truly are cultural icons. And I'm telling you right now, they do that to those restaurants where my people are from there in North Carolina. Nobody will go there. They will lose half of their customers.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I think had they just changed their logo, they might have been fine if they didn't have the woke CEO on top of it with all the woke messaging, making it clear that she was going to push all this left-wing type of stuff, right? I also think it's interesting that, you know, I wonder, okay, so Cracker Barrel loses, what, $100 million over the course of a few days in stock value because of this rebrand. I wonder how much money the consultants made, the people who profited off of, well, we did a new think tank. We got together a focus group to look at building you a new logo, and look at what we've come up with this new logo. I'll bet you the consultants that pushed this new logo, even though there's nothing to it, I'll bet you they made a boatload of money off of this thing, and they're keeping that money no matter how much Cracker Barrel's losing.
And they're trying to wipe out American culture and American history. And I have one of my followers did a little research on that. And, you know, the actual Cracker Barrel that is on the logo with the older man, that has a lot of social significance in the South as well. Those big barrels of crackers used to be a mainstay in these old-time general stores, and then they would use them as areas to gather around and talk. It was almost like the meeting spot for rural communities, you know, in a general store, gather around the Cracker Barrel. It has a lot of significance.
Well, I want to go back to also this that soundbite that I played from the Five, where they did this montage saying how the Democrats are like the Cracker Barrel rebrand, and then they had Tinsel Toes Tampon Tim Walz dancing around using words that we can't use on the radio to try to talk tough. I know you had trouble hearing the soundbite, John, but one of the soundbites that played there as well was the Democrats apparently at their the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, is having their gathering in Minneapolis, of all places, for their big summer meeting. You know they can't show off their bling at that one, right? They need the National Guard to be called in to wear all their bling for that meeting. But they started off their summer meeting in Minneapolis by having a Native American land acknowledgement. And, John, my reaction to that is this. If the Democrats are going to do a land acknowledgement about Native Americans, the Democrats need to acknowledge the Mexican drug cartel operatives that they allowed, that they imported onto Native American lands in this country to target Native Americans with their drugs and their crime. How about that land acknowledgement, DNC?
Well, what makes me laugh, too, is they like you just talked about in that other segment, is they're trying to get these people off of their craziness, right? The consultants are trying to say, stop saying this, stop saying that, stop saying the other thing. Well, I tell you what, if you want to take a big piece of that off the table, they need to pull jazz hands Tim Walz off the national speaking circuit, okay? Because that guy, every time he opens his Broadway musical mouth, he is just doing them more damage. That would be a big point of their new rebrand right there. It's a pull off jazz hands.
I had one of our roommates in college. He was big into the show tune, so he'd always it was Panzer Hall at UM, where everybody has their own room, but you're in a pod, so you share kind of the common living spaces. And this guy would always sing show tunes everywhere he goes, but that guy sang show tunes a lot manlier than Tim Walz gives a speech, I'll tell you what.
I don't know about that, Eric. Is there a manly way to sing show tunes? I didn't think that was actually possible.
I don't know. For some reason, I feel like we might be offending David Noble here. It's going to be like his bicycle rants. He's going to be, now he's going to be quoting show tunes on Thursday. Thanks a lot.
Now David, with that haircut of his, he might be able to pull it off with that haircut. It might work for him.
Man, that's not show tunes. That's some 1980s Flock of Seagulls action. That's some pretty cool stuff right there.
I'm just thinking of Paul Pixie. Hey, you, Flock of Seagulls.
I should say, if you're listening right now and your name is David with a K, you can call in 406-294-0970. We've got the phone lines open with John Jackson in the house. Luckily, though, David, he'll get his turn at the microphone here as well when he guest hosts the show. So, but like any other time, anybody can call into the program. No, what a great guy, great lawyer as well. Let's see, John, we got about a minute till our next break. We should probably talk about Kilmore Abrego Garcia. Somebody asked the question, I think it was Jesse Waters, why do all of these criminal illegal aliens have to go by three names?
Kilmore Abrego Garcia, right? Well, because all these Democrats are foreign-born Latinos, which do have the two hyphenated last names. And that's back in the news again now because he and his obviously highly paid legal team have gotten every Democrat judge they come across to release him and to drop any kind of criminal and or deportation orders against him. And now he's back in the D.C. circuit, been transferred to there. He's once again in ICE custody. But you see by the moves they're making, they're refusing any kind of deal because they think they're going to win. They know they're going to win with these crooked D.C. judges.
All right. We got to take another quick break here. John Jackson in the house. Stand by. Back after this. By the way, they were trying to send Kilmore to Costa Rica or Uganda. I'll go there in February.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Now if you look at Zoran Mamdani, who's running for mayor of New York, Mark says Mamdani and his comrades, the Democratic Socialists of America, they want to wipe out the enforcement of all misdemeanor offenses in New York City. And what does he consider non-serious crimes? Third-degree assault? I mean, assault is assault. It means an innocent person is being attacked by somebody, and they want to end all misdemeanor charges. Now he wants it that they don't even charge these people for petty larceny or menacing and threatening, forcible touching, sexual misconduct, second-degree sexual misconduct, second-degree sexual abuse, third-degree identity theft. Why would you fight for the rights of those people?
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, if you're with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you are overpaying for wireless, period, end of sentence. You're paying for thousands of retail stores that you're never going to go to. You're paying for unnecessary perks that you'll never use. But guess what? My cell phone provider, Pure Talk, they use the same 5G network, the same cell towers. The only difference? They don't charge you for any of the garbage. Instead, Pure Talk will give you unlimited talk, unlimited text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And guess what? You can keep your phone and your phone number. The switch is simple, fast, easy. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. And you can be switched over in mere minutes. #250, keyword save now. Make the switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans. Four Americans.
Fox rocks.
I'm Michelle Polino. Mastodon paid tribute to late guitarist Brett Hinds during their first ever show in Alaska, August 22nd, just one day after he was killed in a motorcycle accident in Atlanta. Hinds had left the band in March.
Man, we really loved each other, you know, and we made a lot of very beautiful music together. And I think that's going to stand the test of time. Evidenced by you people here tonight.
Mastodon has only two shows left this year, September 26th at the Levitation Festival in Austin and November 15th in New Orleans, on a bill that also features the reunited Acid Bath and Power Trip. And the Deftones debuted three new songs at their fall tour opener in Vancouver Friday. The group also dedicated a song to the late Mastodon member Hinds. The band is supporting the new album Private Music on the road this fall and will host its annual Dia de los Deftones Bash November 1st at San Diego's Petco Park. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into the phone lines. Yeah, of course, the show is called Montana Talks, but especially when our friend John Jackson is on the program, we get some great callers from all across the country as well. 406-294-0970 is the number. I've got a bunch of great messages that came in this morning on the Montana Talks app that I want to get to as well. In fact, Kat in Sydney shared this message. I've got a story on the Montana Talks website right now about how a Montana rancher is being debanked, and there's a connection to the MAHA agenda and so much more. But anyway, Kat in Sydney says this: I didn't realize until listening to your chat with Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus Ranch. Went to his website, and they carry beef tallow for a skin glow-up score. REMAngus.com. She found the beef tallow for your skin. So, Kat, thanks for that message on the Montana Talks app. Let's go into the phone lines once again. We've got Nathan in New York. Nathan, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you, gentlemen? Well, I heard the show tunes references, and I figured I better call in from New York, the home of show tunes.
I was going to say, you got such a great voice. If anybody can make show tunes sound manly, it's got to be you, Nathan.
Oh, you're just saying that. And and I figured out, but I do want to give out a land recognition also. You meant to talk about that. So I'm calling you from New York in Long Island. So this is the home of the Lenni Lenape Indians, which strangely enough is also the name of a bookie in the area, Lenni Lenape.
Yeah, a land acknowledgement. You were on land.
The jokes, kids.
You were on land, fought and won against the British. So that's a great land acknowledgement right there, isn't it? Yeah, Nathan, yeah. Thanks for the phone call. Did you anything else to add before I throw it back to John?
No, nothing. I guess he's in fits of laughter. I was saying, look up a thing called Hymn to Him. There's a show tune called Hymn, A Hymn to Him by Rex Harrison and My Fair Lady. You read those lyrics, that's Tim Waltz.
All right. We'll have to check that one out. Nathan, thanks for the call. You know, John, I was just thinking, if anybody can make show tunes sound manly, I got to give credit to my dad. My dad performed at the Big Fork Summer Theater back in the day, and he was in 1776, the musical in 1976. We were hiking down in Bryce Canyon, Utah, and he belted out Mariah. And he also won a singing competition with Goulet. You remember Robert Goulet? You remember him, John?
Oh, sure, sure. I tell you something. I would rather bobsled naked on a cheese grater than listen to show tunes. But that's just me. That's just how I am. But, oh, yeah, I think we need to stay away from. I think that's bait right there from Nathan for us to talk about him. To him, I don't know where that's going, but it doesn't sound good.
Well, you talk about bobsledding naked. I think that's another story of my dad's past. Something about skiing down Big Mountain naked. It was a big thing back in the day. Everybody did it, apparently. But thankfully, nobody has to see us partaking in that Montana history. Let's see here. I got a note here from KC in Bozeman. Sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Aaron, I'm in the Harlow, Judith Gap area. What channel do you broadcast on in that area? KC must be listening in on the app. You should be able to get us on 970 AM out of Billings. So KC from Bozeman, thanks for listening in. John, are you able to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour? We got about 20 seconds to go. Tell us about what you might want to talk about in the 9 o'clock hour.
Okay, we got some breaking news now. President Trump is now weighing in on this Cracker Barrel thing. And, boy, when Trump weighs in on you, you're getting the smackdown.
And it's probably a full plate, too. It's not just a little side dish. It's no avocado toast at your Cracker Barrel when Donald Trump's weighing in. All right, and then what about the flag-burning debate? We've got a great message from Evan in Belt. Maybe I'll start with that message coming up here right after this.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/realid. That's tsa.gov/realid, or visit your local DMV, and then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.